Hi there. Bumping Uglies is a podcast that often contains strong language, explicit subject matter, and dark humor. Listen at your discretion. Thanks and enjoy the episode. Hello. Welcome back to Bumping Uglies. My name's Rachel. And that's Andy.
I'm Andy.
It's not Ashley. She has been a little busy. I know we kind of talked about it before that she might not be on a couple. This is one of them. So what we are going to talk about is something that I haven't shared with a lot of people in my own life, let alone the entire world having the opportunity to hear it. I'm not even sure I've said it on the podcast at all yet. But in March of 2022, I guess.
Sounds right.
Yeah. In March of 2022, I guess maybe back up a little bit. I had some personal things happening during 2020 besides COVID that finally led me to seek out therapy just to talk through some of what I was feeling and discuss some of these issues I was having, kind of getting through these hurdles in life, and I thought I wasn't really taking them or working through them the way that I should be, and it was causing problems in my life, relationships with other people. So I finally, right after my 30th birthday then? Yeah, right after my 30th birthday, I had my first therapy appointment, and I'm sure a lot of you all, like me, have fallen down the TikTok rabbit hole. But as I was going through therapy, I started to notice, and I had probably noticed, it was before I started therapy, I'm going to say at least for 6 months, if not for a whole year, I started seeing these videos on TikTok pop up about, I thought this was like part of my quirky personality. Turns out I have ADHD. And you see a million videos that you look at and go, oh, like I do that sometimes, but it's just like a moment of a likeness and you sort of move on with your day. But after a while, and when I say a while, I'm talking probably hundreds of videos popping up where I was like, oh, I do that. Like, oh, I feel that way. I do this. Like, after so long, it's not just a singular moment of, like, togetherness. It's like, wow, this is a lot of points. So I started reading some and looking up, like, you know, not just people's opinion on TikTok about what ADHD might be or how it might present and how a lot of women, especially women my age, we're getting diagnosed with ADHD and autism right around this same time. And maybe we'll talk about that in another episode. I think there's a lot of reasons that there's like a surge of women especially getting these diagnoses. But it's not just women. I've seen quite a few men too. So anyway, all of this led me to talk to my therapist who does testing for ADHD and sort of explain to her. And I was very honest. I told her that the whole reason that I felt the way I did started from seeing a TikTok video. I think being honest with your doctors is very important. So I talked to her and I had kind of made a list of things that I did that on a regular basis, I'm not talking like once a month or once a year or whatever, that made me like think that my issues matched up with ADHD. And she was like, wow. And when I say I made a list, it was like over 30 things, just to be clear. And I think the fact that it was so many things is really what like led her to agree that we should at least give the testing a try. And because she had even said at your age and like the way that you speak to like to me, if it had been like one or two things, I would have told you, I don't think that that's what this is. But with, you know, with me having waited as long as I had and me making this list, we did the testing. It was 3 hours and it was difficult, but not in, or at least to me, not in like, this is, hard to understand, just that it was a slow moving, very like particular process, and it was just very like tiresome and kind of like annoying sometimes. But anyway, so in March I did the testing, and turns out I do ADHD. She said, I definitely think it's in there. I think you have the type that they call inattentive ADHD, so not hyperactive. A lot of people are trying to like coin a different term, because ADHD emphasizes more of the energy, like outright overactiveness, and doesn't, or like hyperactiveness, and doesn't kind of really focus on other ways that it presents. But anyway, so she's like, yeah, you definitely do. I can, if you'd like to start taking medicine for it, I can recommend like a psychiatrist to you or whatever. And I was like, I'll think about it. Not a big deal. I'm not ready to do that yet. I was just doing this for myself so that I could maybe understand some of my behaviors and, maybe find some coping mechanisms that have been proven to work with people with ADHD, rather than just kind of like fighting my way through life, trying to figure out little things that helped me do my day better. So anyway, having said all of that, I asked Andy if he would be interested in coming on here to talk about how my ADHD affects our relationship, both romantically and sexually, how it's been different since I got diagnosed, rather than before, because I haven't changed, just the knowledge has changed. So I asked him to come on if he would be interested to come on and kind of discuss some of that with me. And he said, yes, I don't know if you're like going to like what I have to say.
Exactly.
And that's been burned in my brain, because I probably, we didn't have a pre-discussion. Like, I didn't write down like topics not to talk about or anything like that. Neither did he. Just because it's not great news doesn't mean I shouldn't know sometimes, right? Because some of the stuff maybe we can work out, figure out a tool for. Some of it, it's probably just going to have to be annoying for him for the rest of our lives. In case anyone cares or wants like a reference point, Andy and I have been married for 5 years, and we've been together like 8 years or so. Nine, I guess, this year probably, but...
A while.
is there somewhere that you want to start with?
Not necessarily, no. I guess our day-to-day would be a good start. Yeah. Things that occur more often than not.
Okay, yeah. There's like a short list of things that are probably a daily issue.
Yeah. So you have this issue where you get distracted easily. Not just like, ooh, shiny object, you gotta go check that out. I like to use the oh look, a squirrel metaphor. That does happen throughout the day. We'll be in a conversation about something, and then unrelated, you'll be like, oh my god, this. The other day it was you had to do like tax stuff.
Yeah.
We were in the middle of a conversation about something unrelated to even finances.
Yeah.
So that's something I'm getting used to. I can tell myself your fault. I can tell myself it's fine. It's not your fault. It's how you are. And I'm getting better with not being annoyed by things like that every day. Just purely from my own standpoint at this point.
Have you been less annoyed since we've like found out that I have ADHD and I'm not just like... like not listening to you or like changing the subject on purpose.
Yeah.
Cause I will say that a lot of these behaviors that he's going to talk about, I didn't know that I did really, until he has said something. So like all of these things that I've been doing, like it's not that I know that I'm doing them. It's never on purpose.
Right. Like when I talk at you and I like to use the expression in one ear and out the other, but you will pick up a word or two and ask me what I'm talking about, like I haven't been talking to you for the last 3 to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's something that's helpful to know that there's a reason. It feels sometimes I talk and I'm ignored, but it's just your brain focusing on whatever task you're doing at the time.
Yeah. And I would say the other thing that I've heard you mention the most, which I think sometimes is annoying, but sometimes entertaining, is that there's words for it. I have like delayed hearing. I can't remember what it's called. Yes. So he does a thing where he says something and I go, what? Or I say, what did you say? And then like before he starts talking again, or like right as he starts talking again, I will then answer the question that he had asked or give him the information that he had been seeking. It's like my brain just takes a little bit longer to get, like the words came out of his mouth and I saw them, but it took longer for my brain to unscramble them than it did for my brain to say, what did he say? And maybe that's a little bit of like your internal monologue sneaking out too. Like maybe that, like you just don't have a good self-control on that. When I say you, I mean me and people with ADHD. My brain's like, what is that? And so my mouth says, what is that? And my brain goes, why did you say that out loud? Like, so, sometimes it's like that. But usually I don't even realize I've done any of that.
That one's a double whammy too, because there's two parts to it. I don't particularly enjoy repeating myself. But what I hate, absolutely hate, is being interrupted. So, not only do I have to repeat myself, and when I do, I immediately get interrupted, perhaps the first couple words,
yeah,
maybe halfway through what I was saying. Either way, it triggers something in my brain, and I get slightly annoyed.
Yeah.
Granted, everything I'm saying here is annoyances, nothing deal-breaking. We want to bring that up on the podcast.
If it was a deal breaker, like, we wouldn't have gotten married. We probably wouldn't have made it to marriage, to be honest, because Andy and I have known each other for a really long time. And nothing about me has changed. So I've been this way my whole life. All of these things that I'm doing have always been present in our relationship. So if it was something that was a deal breaker, we wouldn't have made it this far. And he knew, like, it's not like I somehow tricked him and then we got married and all of a sudden I was like interrupting him all the time and leaving my phone all over the house so we had to go on a scavenger hunt. Like, I didn't save that up for after we got married. I couldn't if I wanted to.
No, that was all apparent.
The phone scavenger hunts mainly are kind of silly, but sometimes they're really annoying because it's like when we have to go somewhere.
Or you will have gone to work, and you'll need a coworker to text me to locate and bring you your phone.
Yeah, that I always feel so bad, because it's not just that I'm saying, hey, I left this at home, can you bring it to me? It's, hey, I left it at home, but you have to find it first.
Yeah, there's a few hot spots, but
yeah,
occasionally it's in none of those locations, and you're spending a few minutes looking for it. I am at a disadvantage, because, well, she's home. She can ask the Google to bring her phone, and it'll listen to her. It doesn't listen to me, because our voices aren't matched to each other's accounts. So if I say, hey, Google, where's my phone?
It'd be cool if you could teach it to ask, where's my wife's phone? Like, I wonder if you can. That would help a lot. Yeah. Honestly, home automation is like a two-prong issue for me. One, I love it because sometimes, like, being able to set timers by just talking or making a shopping list or whatever, finding my phone, turning lights on and off. We also have cameras in our home. Like, home automation has helped me remember to do things or has made it easier so that when I'm thinking, like, oh, I need to write this down, or oh, I need to do this in 45 minutes, or this cake has to come out of the oven in 45 minutes. Like, it makes it so easy that I don't forget those things. However, the other prong is, it doesn't like me. It doesn't like me. I really struggle with it understanding and, like, hearing me a lot. And then, so on those days, then I get like really frustrated. And whatever I was trying to use it for, I've now completely forgotten about, which is sometimes bad, like a cake in an oven or something. So like it's two pronged. When it works great and it's awesome. When it doesn't work, it makes all of those things I've been trying to avoid, like not knowing how long something's been going on. Now it's compounded that because now I've forgotten it, everything that I was going to do.
Everything. It's fun. It's always an adventure.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get every day. Keeps me on my toes.
Yeah. Can't be boring because even I don't know what's going to happen.
What else, since your diagnosis, can we discuss here?
We redid the refrigerator, and I say we, I rearranged the refrigerator, and Andy has been kind enough to learn to use it. Again, TikTok, guilty. I saw this thing that was like, if you struggle with remembering what food is in your fridge, or like that you bought vegetables and they go bad, and it's not because you didn't want to eat them, it's because you didn't know they were there, blah, blah, blah. Essentially, here's a way to do your fridge that will make things that you forget about often more visible. Because you don't forget about like butter or, you know, things you use every single day, like coffee creamer. Those things are right there and you reach for them every day. But you do forget things like special cheeses or meats or vegetables. So I ended up putting all of the vegetables and fruit, if there is any, like whole fruit, in the door of the refrigerator. And the salad dressings are still in the door of the refrigerator, but all, this is also going to be, if you want to do this, it might help you, but if you're somebody that has, like, weird definitions for what things are, it's going to be a struggle for you to decide what all should go together. But anyway, I put the salad dressings are still in the door of the refrigerator. All of our other sauces are in the drawers that you would normally, a lot of people keep like meat and cheese in and like vegetables.
The crispers,
yes. And then like all of that meat and cheese has like a shelf and it's stacked up, and all of the sauces or yogurts, cottage cheeses, like they have their own shelf. So it's all like very separated and just like it is way more visible. I would say that we've had far, far less vegetables go bad.
Yes, less food waste for sure.
For sure.
There are plenty of times, though, I don't know where stuff goes. So I just do what I would normally do and put it on the closest shelf in front of me. And then a few days later, it gets moved. Also, I do know that we somewhat organized the two drawers. But there's a difference between them.
Yeah.
I was told there was a difference between them.
Yeah.
I could not tell you what it is now. And I haven't been following it for months.
It's a loose system because they're all sauces, but essentially...
Yeah, it's just loosely in the drawer.
But essentially, if it's an American sauce, I put it in the bottom drawer. Or if it's like a sweet sauce, it'll go in the bottom drawer as well. And then the top drawer has, like, mainly Asian-esque sauces, but pretty much anything that would be, like, ethnic or, like, hot.
Yes, that is
goes in the other drawer.
Okay, so I've not been messing up too.
But it's, like, it's loose, because some things are kind of difficult to define, so.
Yeah, Frank's Red Hot is hot and American. Which drawer does it go?
Exactly. So, yeah, we've done that since I got the ADHD diagnosis. I think I just said ADHD. I don't think I said D.
Sure did.
Oops.
Got distracted. We've reorganized the house about four different ways.
I do. I don't know if it's because of ADHD, but I really, really like to rearrange spaces. I feel like if you leave them the same too long, they feel like stale. So I Andy's a very good sport. I really don't ask him for that much help to do it, but I rearrange our furniture in the living room, the bedroom. We rearranged his office this year. I rearrange the stuff inside the cabinets at least once a year, probably. So he's a really good sport about taking these weird things that I do in stride.
I found a cabinet the other day. I lost it for months. The baking cabinet.
Because you don't open it?
Well, yeah, I would never open it. It used to have, like, the whiskey and margarita glasses.
Yeah.
And maybe measuring cups? I don't know. That part of it. But I opened it and I found a powdered PB.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say the full word until it's in your shot.
One of the things that I've done for myself, I was always really good about brushing my teeth in the mornings because it's part of my routine that I've developed over my entire life. But toward the end of the day, I was really, really, I've always struggled with remembering that it needs to happen again at night. So one of the things I've done for myself, I read somewhere that if you think about it, just do it. And I sort of have a rule about when that applies because I'm not going to brush my teeth at 11 a.m. or whatever. And then if I think about it at 3 p.m., brush my teeth again. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but that's not really helping me create any routine. So I kind of have this rule that if it's after 8 o'clock and I think about it, I'll just brush my teeth when I think about it then. Yeah.
Then 8:30, ice cream.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not going to be perfect, right? But at least it's better than not doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's...
We have a shared Google Calendar. We did that kind of before, but we did it before I got my ADHD diagnosis, but we have really been... more attentive to it since I did because me knowing something that he scheduled for us or for him, it having it right there to see is so much easier because I will not remember that we are supposed to go to dinner or something even tomorrow at 5 o'clock if he just tells me. It needs to be in writing.
Yeah, I'm not great at the stuff that's short term in there, but I put long term things in there. Like in March, I have to go to fire school.
Yeah.
I put that in there for a weekend. And also in March, I'm on call for work, so I put that in there.
Yeah. Because
that's one that it kind of sneaks up on you, even though I have 3 months' notice. But you just don't talk about it because it's not a thrilling conversation.
Right. But basically, you could mention it to me every day, and unless for some reason it caught one day, I probably still wouldn't remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
I need remembering about events that you plan.
Yeah.
Or plan for us, either way. Because I don't want to say I don't care, but I don't care to remember when it is.
Yeah.
I don't need the lead up for it.
It's not anything that's an emergency. So if I'm just oh, by the way, we're going out to dinner tonight, it's easy for him to be yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that, I don't know if it annoys you the most, I really have days where I'm just not in the right mood or headspace, I don't know, to actually watch a television show or a movie that I really need to focus on. I will say a couple of times in the last year, I've tried subtitles and it does help a little bit because you have to look at the screen and read it. So your eyes are kind of on the screen anyway. But, so I think sometimes, he really would like to, binge a show or start a show. And I'm just we can, but, I'm really not going to watch it. And I try to be honest because sometimes it's not a show that I really care about. And other times it's something that he knows I really do want to see. I just don't want to see it right now. And I think that can be very frustrating for him.
Yeah. We were going to watch like The Mandalorian or something, and you were like, I can't watch this today. And there's nothing against the show. You enjoy the show.
Yeah.
It's just, you don't have the spoons for it, if you will.
Spoons.
And some days, she has no spoons to watch TV at all. She just needs the noise, so I'll watch my shows.
Mm-hmm.
With zero complaints.
I'm, like, really big on, I don't know what they call it, but where you do separate things, but you just, like, are present beside each other or, like, touching each other. That's parallel play. I believe that is what it's called. I'm super into that because I want to be near him, which is unusual because I mainly don't want to be around anybody, but I want to be around him, but, like, I don't necessarily always want to be engaging, like, in conversation or an activity together. I want to do what I want to do. I just want him to be in touching distance. So, that works for us a lot.
Yeah. It gives me time to, I can play my games and she can lay on the couch and read or.
Yeah.
It's a big one. And then there's a, or now we've just been laying in bed and I play my games and it's easy enough.
Yeah.
Turns out Xbox controllers and phones work well.
Like when I came to you and was like, I think that I might have ADHD. Or I probably really said, do you think I have ADHD?
And I immediately said yes.
Yeah.
I'm no therapist, so my opinion doesn't really matter. But from what I can understand of the disorder and what I know of my wife, yeah, a lot of things add up.
Yeah. And I would like to make it, like, really clear that this wasn't something, like, we joked about ever before or anything like that. It's not something we had ever talked about before, you know, because I feel like there's a lot of people that are like, oh my God, I'm so ADD. I forgot to put my shoes on today or whatever. I just want to be really clear that, like, though we never joked about me having ADD or ADHD, nothing like that. So I would think that you were surprised that I came to you and asked that question.
Yeah. I didn't expect to hear, but things didn't make sense.
Yeah.
We joke about much worse things.
That's true.
Mental health is no joking matter.
And if you are, you know, in the middle of doing this or you're thinking about it, just know that they will ask you to give this survey thing out to, a person close to you or the person closest to you. And they fill that out independently. Like, you're not supposed to see it or talk about it. They fill that out independently. And in our case, he mailed it back to her. Like, I never saw his answers to that. I did not help him with that. And they take your loved one's opinions in consideration as well as your own opinions, or not opinions, but, like, experiences.
Yeah.
On top of the testing that they do. So just be aware that they will ask you to have someone close to you essentially evaluate you based on these questions. And then you also do a self-evaluation.
Yeah, they send you homework.
Yeah.
Wasn't too bad. Took 20, 30 minutes.
And it's like, it can be very hard to try to step outside yourself enough to go, like, do I do this? Or, like, do I think that I do this? Or does it happen, like, occasionally but not really enough to be considered, like, a trait of mine? Like, it can be really hard to be honest with yourself about the things that you do. And it can also be really hard to hear when you say something that is kind of, like, a sticking point for you on yourself and your partner or people around you agree with you. And it's not that you expect them not to agree with you, but, like, when they do, not only is it, like, a telling thing, but, like, it hurts a little that they also have that opinion and, like, you never thought about it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
something you gotta let go.
Yeah, and one of the reasons I haven't really told a lot of people is because I feel very strongly that when you tell people things about yourself like that, that they immediately change their outlook on you and their opinion of you, and I just don't want that. I don't think it's necessary. I did this for myself, not for anything else. Andy obviously knows we're married, but there's, like, only a few other people I've really discussed it with, although I suppose now it might be different, but we'll see. So I kind of wanted to, that's kind of like our personal life for the most part, like those little sticking things. And obviously, like, the things we've talked about don't really sound that bad, but, like, when it comes to, like, leaving a stove burner on because you turned around and forgot that you were cooking, leaving the bathtub running all night because, like, our cats like to drink out of the bathtub because I forgot that I had turned the water on for them.
The sink full of dishes. When you start the dishes, you have to turn the water on.
Yeah.
And you can't turn the water off until you're done with the dishes.
Yeah.
No matter what you do in the middle there.
Yeah. Or like starting several projects and finishing none. Or it takes a really long time to finish them. I think that can be very frustrating. I will say that I also read, and it's something that I kind of did before, but I have made a more conscious effort with now. When I get home from work, if I'm, like, having a really good sort of, like, get stuff done productive day, because there's lots of days that are absolutely, like, I couldn't give myself $3 million to go and do something. So I'll just start doing stuff, and I won't sit down, and I won't take my shoes off, because the moment that I break this, like, productive streak, it's over. It's completely over. So, like, we've given some examples that, like, sometimes are frustrating, but it is so, it's so much more underneath that. Those were just, like, little things. And it can be so much more detrimental than, like, oh, I lost my phone again. Like, it can really affect your life poorly. Especially, like, your sleep life, your weight, like, as you, the way that you go to sleep and wake up versus, like, somebody else who doesn't have the same issues as you. And it definitely affects your sex life.
Definitely affects your sex life. We talked about this recently, how we view things differently, but there's a few things related to the ADHD that start to make more sense. Like, when I'm touching you, initiating sex, if you will, rubbing on your body, potentially your extremities. Nope, nether regions.
Lady bits.
Your lady bits. Vulva. You will, while you seem to be focused on enjoying it, and I can, like, physically see that and feel that, there'll be moments out of nowhere you start talking about something else. Or you will talk to the cat. Sometimes you grab your phone. That's usually not the case. There's a lot of feeling, like when I'm feeling you up or going down on you. There'll be times where you seem distracted, which makes sense, but the times where you have to scratch your head.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. And I know it's, in my head, it feels like I don't want to feel this, so I'll feel something I'm used to.
Oh my God.
Which might be a sensory thing. I don't know the details.
Okay.
I'm not involved in that. So, I work in tech for a reason.
What I will say is, and I'm sure everyone in the world can relate, and not just people with ADHD, but oftentimes, if there's one single sound that I didn't expect to hear, or there was a sound before, and now the sound is gone, if the lighting is wrong, I'm out. I'm not in the moment. And the second that it's like if you, I don't know, you're watching a movie and waiting for cars to crash and you turn your head away, you know, right at that last second, you miss the car crash and it's too late to go back to it. Like, your mind is already gone. And even if you remember that there was a car crash about to happen, you know that you already missed it because it was, like, too late. So your mind just keeps on running the other direction. So that absolutely does happen. Like, I could be so into it in one moment and then the very next moment be on a completely different, like, planet, essentially. Like, it happened so quickly, that switch over. As far as the head scratching thing, it, I guess, is a sensory thing, but it's been one of my, like, nervous habits, or, yeah, it's a nervous habit, like, my whole entire life. And, like, when I say a nervous habit, like, I don't mean that, like, while you're going down on me, you've made me nervous.
Okay.
It just means that, like, it, like, my body is, like, agitated, which it is, like, you're doing an agitation. So, yes, it's a similar response to being nervous, like, there's too much energy in my body, so my hands have started doing something on their own, without me, like, realizing that it's happening. I've done this my whole life, not just with, like, sex, but throughout my whole life, and multiple people in my family have commented on it, and it really even caused some real friction between me and my dad, because, like, again, I mainly don't even realize I'm doing it until someone points it out, or, like, I don't know, I accidentally pull my own hair or something, but, my dad would essentially be like, I don't know why you're doing that. And I'd be like, it's a nervous thing. And he'd be like, I don't know why you're nervous. Like, why would you be nervous right now? I'm like, I don't know. And then he'd be like, you really need to stop that. People are going to think you're dirty. Like, it really was a point of contention for us. And I couldn't make an effort to stop doing it because I did, like, I don't know that it is happening. Like, if you asked me if I scratch my head while you do that, I would have said no.
Oh.
I didn't know. Okay.
Oh. Another fun thing is, I don't want to say all these negative things without the positives. I'll get to those. But another one of the things that used to irk me, and I've grown way past that with my sexual confidence, especially with my wife.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about something. Usually, like, we do a lot of sexting.
Yeah.
And just when we're not, like, around each other. Like, if we're going to be home that day, it's just not the point. Maybe a few little things
here and
there.
One or both of us travels way more than we ever, like, think that we do. So we are at least for sure once a month, but potentially 3 or 4 times a month, we will spend like a night or two apart.
I think if you want to break it down, it's like 10 to 15% of the year, if not more.
Okay.
That's what it used to be. Now I travel for work, so that's a little different.
Yeah.
Travel for work is a strong term for that, but
that doesn't matter. We know it
later. But anyways, so back to the sexting. We say all these naughty things.
Yeah.
And we'll be going on a roll. I know the other person's doing something else as well. Like, it's, you know, I can't just sex someone and be like, this is it. They're sitting on their couch, hopefully laying down or whatever.
Yeah.
Just focus on this conversation. No. Other things at play. You could be shopping, working, etc.
Yeah.
Something. But a lot of times we'll be sexting, and we'll say, like, 4 messages right back to back. And then the next one would be like, don't forget to pay the water bill. And I think that might be more like a real life thing than the ADHD thing. But it's still something I like to bring up.
I mean, it definitely ties into, if I don't tell you when I think about it, I'm not going to tell you ever again. And then, like, and I'm not going to be mad at you that I didn't tell you. And I know, it's, like, sometimes it can be really awkward, actually. But, like, it's, if, no matter what's happening, even if I'm supposed to be, like, touching myself and sending him a video, like, if it pops in my head, you know, oh my God, we have to do this by next week, like, I'm probably gonna stop and tell him. So there's, like, a couple of exceptions to that. That I would maybe, like, take a moment and just, like, put it in the calendar or, like, just give myself a reminder to tell him. But, yeah, it just ties back to, like, I know I won't remember if I say, like, ooh, I'll just wait. Like, we're doing something. And I know that that's awful.
Yeah. I did pay the water bill that month. But there's a lot of positives as well. There's a lot of, since your mind's always going, you're always thinking of something new.
Yeah.
Or, not exactly new, but a slight variation of something that we've done. Like, oh, I would like it if you did A instead of B. Because you're always thinking about something.
I like variety.
Always thinking. Also, this might not be an ADHD thing, but you read a lot of smut.
A lot. All it's so easy to read, man.
So much smut. Which is great. Definitely great. Get your partner hooked on this stuff. Because they read this all day, and it doesn't... You don't have to compare yourself to it, because you can't be a fucking vampire or whatever they're reading.
Yeah, it's not realistic at all.
Not all of it. Some might be. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Don't compare yourself to it. Just like don't compare yourself to guys in porn, because no one has a cock the size of your arm.
I mean, those guys do, but they're, like, out of the use.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, they exist, obviously, but not only is it not, like, the norm, but, like, mainly, I would say a lot of people don't want to actually experience it, you know what I'm saying?
It does look painful.
But
yeah, the reading, and it gets you riled up.
Some do.
Yeah. And it's very noticeable. You'll mention more sexual things, or it's always a good segue. They're reading that. I don't want to say doing their own foreplay. That seems lazy. But
sometimes it's exactly like that. I will say that one of the positive things for us since I've gotten this diagnosis is that before, Andy's always had a higher sex drive than I have. Like, he's like a fucking Energizer bunny or whatever. And I always used to think sometimes that I just had like a way lower sex drive. And I thought there were several reasons for this. And like, I'm not saying that those are not a part of anything still, but since I've gotten this diagnosis, it's been easier to see that it's not that I don't feel like having sex or don't want to have sex. It's really been helpful that, like, we've had conversations now that I'm like, if you want it, like, you should, like, initiate or you should say something, because I probably want to do it. I probably haven't, like, stopped to think about doing it. Like, I probably haven't got to the point in my day where I'm thinking about that. Or maybe I never will. I think it's not that we had a bad or, like, spread out sex life before, but I think since having some conversations about, like, being more direct in your approach, if you're trying to, like, come on to me, and also just, like, saying, like, hey, like, and sometimes it's not as romantic as people want it to be, but sometimes just saying, like, hey, would you like to have sex later? Like, just to put the idea in my head has gone a long way to us having a lot more sex, I think.
Oh, definitely. Because people always joke that men don't get hints, which is true. I'm not sure I ever have. But it's also very true in Rachel's case.
Yeah, and maybe that's, like, maybe it's not just ADHD. It could be, a combination of things. But it, like...
Might be your upbringing.
Yeah, there's so many factors. But essentially, like, just because... And we even talked about this the other day, last week, how he think, like, in his head, if he's, like, touching me... And not necessarily, like, in, like, genitals, because I think that's a pretty clear, like, indicator. But, like, if he's been, like, rubbing me for a while, and, like, he's, like, cuddling me and stuff like that, it doesn't ring sex to me. Almost, I would say, like, 99% of the time, it doesn't ring as, like, a come on to me. We've, even just last week, I was like, you need to tell me. Like, or do something, like, overtly sexual. Because otherwise, I probably don't think that's what you're going for. And I think, on the other side, I rub you sometimes, and, like, I'm very, like, close to you, and I think your brain immediately is like, we're gonna bang.
Every time.
Like, if my eyes even go anywhere near his crotch. He's like, it's happening.
Or like you'll rest your head on my belly. You'll have a hand like on my upper thigh.
Mm-hmm.
And you like rub my upper thigh for a little bit. That's enough for my brain to completely shut off.
Yeah.
For me to be like, okay, now we wait. And in 30 seconds, she's going to grab that dick.
And then 3 hours later, he's like, what happened?
One of us falls asleep. And I was like, I thought we were going to have sex last night. And she's like, why'd you think that? And I'm like, well, because we never discussed
this. I also, this is not about sex. I have a bit of a skin picking issue on myself. And I will do him as well. And he doesn't really like that. But most of the time he nicely puts up with it. And I also, if we're pretty relaxed, or if we're in a weird position, I will also scratch his head occasionally instead of my own. And that, when I say scratch, I'm picking at my scalp. That's what I'm doing. So I'll pick at his scalp too. It's not like a nice head rub. That'd be awesome if I was just like massaging my scalp all the time as like a nervous tick or whatever, but
it feels like how monkeys go through each other's hair.
And you're also not the first person to say that.
And it's often while I'm trying to semi-concentrate on something, and it's always then that you'll start. You're not like picking right away. Like you ease into it quickly.
You're just
rubbing my head and my hair. And that's
like
fine.
Stockholm syndrome.
And then 45 seconds to a minute later, you'll pick a little bit. And you'll move on. And then I'll be like, okay, she's not gonna do that today. And then like 2 more minutes later, I'll be trying to like send a message or check my work email, play a game. Doesn't matter. And you'll just start picking at the spots in my head, as well as telling me that you're doing this and that I need to change half of my life. Or just my shampoo. I don't know. There's always... It's mild criticism, but it's there. And
I think I don't really consider it criticism. I think I'm saying, like, oh, like, your scalp's really dry. Like, let's try a different shampoo. Like, I want your life to be, like, better or, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying, like, you're bad. I'm saying your shampoo's bad.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a lot of the wording used. That's an everyday thing that we're
working on.
Some days better than others.
I do say things in, like, weird ways sometimes. Like, in strange... I don't know if order is the right way. Maybe, like, it's the word choice, too.
Yeah.
I'm not... That could just... That we're not saying that all of this conversation is directly related to ADHD.
No, it's all some of these
have been like quirks of mine that could be, you know, whatever I've developed on my own.
This week in the roast of Rachel.
I will say too that something I've gotten a lot better at, but still struggle with. I sleep super lightly. I wake up a lot. I don't sleep well. My mind is constantly on, and sometimes I can't go to sleep at all. But one of the things that is, like, a really well-known trait of mine is that, like, when I wake up, I'm immediately ready to go. I could get out of bed, get dressed, go to breakfast, or, like, have a full conversation, call somebody else. Like, I could do that. As soon, maybe even before my eyes open. And Andy is not a morning person. It takes him a while to get going through, like, into his day. You know, he wants it to be silent. He wants a nice, gentle wake up. And I have a really bad habit. And it's not always necessarily talking to him, which is probably even worse. But, like, I will pop up and just start, like, whatever my head's thinking about, it's coming right out of my mouth, right to his face. But sometimes it's just to the animals, and so he just has to hear me talking, not even to him.
Yeah, I always joke I can hear her all the time, even when I'm sleeping, and it's true.
Mm.
You wake up talking.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, you'll wake up and talk. I'll be asleep.
Yeah.
Walking around asleep. But, you know, things are improving.
I'm just getting better at trying to be, like realize that he, like, it's probably normal to be asleep or, like, to wake up and be more silent. So I'm just trying to be more, like, cognizant of it and more considerate and, like, be quieter. And sometimes that means, like, just I have to get out of bed. But also I try not to do that unless it's, like, kind of an okay hour to wake up, because then the dog and the cats will start going, and, like, then he'll wake up a lot of the time.
Yeah. Another thing with my mornings. I don't understand it, why I have to have, like, that half hour of silence. Because I work from home. It takes 30 seconds to get to my job. Why do I have to wake up 45 minutes early?
I don't know. And
if I don't do it, the whole day's ruined. So, I have to.
The thing is, like I kind of just said, I could wake up and be in my car driving somewhere within 5 or 10 minutes, to be honest, pretty much any day. And so I think that when you do stuff like that, I'm always just like, this is normal. Like, people want to take their time. Like people make breakfast and they do these things. And, oftentimes if it's like if I have something to do first thing in the morning, I won't wake up and like make breakfast and take time to do these like long routines that people just choose to take time for. I will sleep till like the last possible moment, wake up, put the clothes on that I've already decided I'm wearing the night before, and go. Like, I'm super ready. So I just think I tell myself, like, this is the normal way to do things. You need to respect what he's doing. I mean, I'm going to respect it even if it's not the normal thing to do. Not that normal is a great word to use, but I just think this is probably the more usual thing, and I need to get better at seeing that, so that not only do I stop doing it to him, but I stop doing it to other people, because it doesn't just apply to Andy.
No.
Like, if we're all somewhere, like, whatever, staying at a friend's house, or we've all gone on vacation together, like, mainly if I wake up and it's after, like, 8:30, I'm probably going to wake other people up.
Oh, definitely.
Like, I'm probably going to be like, I'm ready for everyone to start their day. And sometimes that's not very nice.
Sometimes it's not, no.
Sometimes it's necessary, but sometimes it's not nice. And I am trying to really be more conscious of the fact that, like, just because I've been up for 3 hours and, like, I really am ready to go do something doesn't mean that everyone else is even remotely in that same spot.
Not even close. Some of us like to sleep in on the days that we can.
Yeah. Yeah, Andy values his sleep in time, for sure. And it's not that first of all, like I said, these are things that I don't realize I'm doing. So it's not like I've been like, well, I want him to get up, so he should get up. Like, or it's 8 o'clock, it's time for, it's not like that at all. It just never even occurred to me until Andy voiced this. And this, like, the waking up thing was like years ago that he finally said something, but it's not that I knew any of that was happening. I just assumed that pretty much everyone woke up that way.
No. I did figure something out just now, though. The whole, oh, it's 8 o'clock, someone has to be up, and I want him awake, so you should be awake. Sounds exactly like my mother.
Listen, I think that your mother's a great candidate for ADHD. I think she also thinks that, but she's in her 50s. She's not going to go check. But my mother and my father were also like that. They, like, first of all, they were not sleeping people, at least not once they were adults. And they were very much like, we're going to get up. We're going to wash the car. We're going to go to the store. We're going to go do the sports. Like, we were always doing something. Like, the day was mainly planned. And I sometimes wonder if, and who knows, maybe one of my parents had ADHD, maybe they didn't. I'll never know. But I sometimes wonder if I had been born into a less like, high-energy family, if someone would have noticed that I maybe was more, like, hyperactive or inattentive, but we were always going. Like, I didn't really, like, sometimes, but I never struggled too much as a kid to be, like, fully entertained, you know, because we always had something planned. I was always doing something. So there wasn't a lot of downtime for my brain, except for, like, reading at night, like, when it was time to go to bed, or, like, riding in the car. Like, then those were times when I really needed to find something to do with myself. But, yeah, sometimes I wonder if I had been born into a family that did less things, if it would have been more noticeable.
Maybe. That whole, I don't know if it's nature versus nurture at that point, but kind of.
Yeah, I don't know. And, but I guess I just kind of wanted to just come on and, like, have a real conversation that we haven't really had before. So, like, there's several negative things. Like, this is not a fun, exciting, you shouldn't really be excited to get any sort of diagnosis. Like, it's good to know, it's good to have the knowledge, but my life would be easier if I didn't have this thing. And a lot of these issues that I now know are related to ADHD, it would have helped me immensely as, like, a teenager to know, and also as a college student. Like, looking back, there are so many things that I could have done differently had I known that I had ADHD. But if I wanted to have a real conversation so that everyone can see that, like, there are negatives, there are positives. It's a huge learning curve for both of us all of the time. But that doesn't, like, it doesn't mean it's all bad. A lot of it's not too bad. But it's good to see that it's just an ongoing process. Like, it's not something you solve.
No.
You just find, it's like winning battles, but, like, you'll never win the war. The war is forever. But, like, you have little victories. You find little things that work for you and make your life better and make you a more responsible partner, a caring partner, a considerate partner. Like, you do find things that help you to be better for your relationships, not just with your spouse, but with your whole family and friends, you know. Even if you don't tell them, you can still do things for yourself that improve your relationship with other people. And I also think that it's good to see that, like, it doesn't have to run your life or ruin your life.
Not at all.
And not just ADHD. Any issue that you have, whatever it is, there are tools and there are medicines if that's a route that you want to take. And it doesn't have to be, like, the end. And you don't have to be alone. It can be really hard to communicate through issues sometimes. But as long as you're trying, that's probably, like, 90% of the effort, right? Like, the issue right there. But if you have been thinking about this and not just, like, a TikTok here or there, if you've, like, really done a little bit of, like, self-reflection and, you know, you've seen videos where you're like, wow, that's really like me. If you've done some research, all of that stuff, and you still think, wow, I really think this could be me. Talk to someone. It can't hurt to reach out, and it might not be the answer you hoped for or anything like that, but at least it is an answer. 'Cause you can't do anything if you don't know what you're dealing with. It can be hard to learn something about yourself later in life, because at some point you have opinions about yourself and you have notions of who you're going to be and how you're going to be, and you kind of settle into yourself as you get older. So when you find out, like, a big piece of information, it doesn't change who you are, but it does change how you perceive current things in your life, how you perceive past things that have happened. Like, it adds a new layer. So something that you've really been struggling to understand, like, why it happened the way it happened, sometimes it can help or hurt past experiences. It can show you, like, oh, well, like, now that I know this about myself, I can see that this is what I was doing, and that's the problem. Which can be good or bad, you know, it varies. But, yeah, what do you think?
I think it's good to know. If you think you might have something that should be diagnosed, whatever it is, you should definitely go get it diagnosed. Knowing it has helped me as well be a more understanding partner, I should say. We've never fought a lot, but we've definitely had less disagreements lately due to I know her not paying attention to me isn't, or when I speak, isn't because it's me. It's because there's something that she can't help. And it really helps calm myself, I guess. Like, I can be reassured it's not because she's just doing this for me. And that's made us argue a lot less, or just generally just improve everything. Knowing to have to battle is what the G.I. Joes say.
I think it's true, though. I think just knowing, and when I started talking about this with my therapist, she, one of the very first things she said is like, well, you're 30, so why do you want to do this? Like, what benefit will you get from this? Like, are you just looking to try medication? Like, what do you need to know? Is there, you know, family history? Like, what is the reason? And for me personally, and I'm not saying that if this is not your reason, they're going to be like, absolutely not, we're not going to test you. But for me personally, like, I just, if I have something, whatever it is, it's easier to deal with, or to deal with others even. And the more you know about yourself, the better you can be. Like, it was important to me just yes or no. Because if the answer was no, then this whole list of things that I have, that I made, potentially could be for another reason. And it doesn't mean that it was going to be a different disorder or anything like that. Like, it could just be some, like, a behavior that I needed to learn to break. But, like, taking that step to say, like, to about ADHD, it was a huge thing of these behaviors. I can try these things that are supposed to work for a lot of people with ADHD to see if that helps if I do have ADHD. And if I don't, then I need to do some more exploring to figure out what these things are, where they're coming from, how do I deal with them? Is it something I can get rid of? Is it something that I'm just going to have to learn to deal with? So for me, it was just about wanting to be the best version of myself that I can. And I think that the more you know about the self, the better you can be.
Absolutely. You want to know everything you can about yourself so you can be, I don't want to say change yourself for someone else, because that's not what's happening, but it's always good to improve yourself every day.
You should want to not change yourself for somebody, but you should want to, again, be the best version of yourself so that the relationships that you do have and that you do enjoy can also be the best version of those relationships.
Definitely.
You know, and I also think that me getting this diagnosis has helped me sometimes receive love better. because I think before I thought that my want for, like, parallel play was really me feeling like I didn't want to be around someone, but that I should be because we're, like, in a relationship, or, and not just a romantic one, but, like, it has changed. Like, I can see now and identify that, like, I enjoy this behavior And in fact, I worry that other people don't enjoy the behavior. Like, that's a thing that has flipped for me.
Okay. I don't think I understand completely.
Okay. Do you want me to, like, explain it? I just, before, when we would do, like, if you would lay in bed and play a game, and I would lay in bed and read a book, I would think that, like, it's because I didn't have, like, the want or the energy to, like, interact.
Okay.
But now, like, now I can see that, in fact, I want this to happen, the quiet next to each other activities, and that, that, like, looking back, that I was afraid that, like, you didn't like us doing that. Like, that you required this interaction, and I wasn't giving it to you, so that must mean that I don't, like, it's a whole thing. But now, seeing that this help, like, that other people do this too, and that it, like, is kind of a calming thing, and it makes you feel loved because someone's right there, I can agree with that. I can look back and say, yeah, like, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it doesn't mean that I'm not into our relationship.
Right. You don't need to spend every minute of every day interacting.
Yeah, exactly.
Actively. You can do it passively.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But we hope you enjoyed this. I think we will have several more talks with Andy, not about ADHD, but about
material.
But about you know, our life in general, some struggles that we've had or have, things that we like about our relationship, like fun things that we do or good things that we've developed doing for ourselves. Yeah. And also, like, some kink stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of that.
We'll get into that some, and things we've tried and didn't like, things we are trying and did like, but maybe not, it wasn't, like, perfect, things we want to try. So I'm looking forward to that, and we hope you've enjoyed this, and have a great night.
Bye.
We'd love to hear from you. Send us your stories, comments, questions, or subjects you'd like to hear us talk about to bumpingucast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts. Please spread the word. Subscribe, rate, and review to help us grow our podcast. Thanks for listening!